Shortly after Saul's Damascus Road experience, the Lord said to Ananias, "Saul is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." The cost of discipleship is something every Christian must calculate. Eternal life is free, but following Jesus is pricey. Jesus made this clear by associating the cross and self-denial with following him. In Luke 9:24, the Savior said pointedly, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Like the Apostle Paul, have you calculated the high cost of following Jesus? I'm Ron Jones, and this is Something Good.
Here's what God said about the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. "I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Hello, I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for being here for today's Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. During his 35-year ministry, the Apostle Paul suffered greatly for the cause of Christ. Today, Ron reminds us that we too may be asked to make sacrifices, maybe even to endure suffering. For the glory of God, and for the advancement of the gospel. Stay with us now as Ron continues his series, Paul, Surprised by Grace. Or you might instead stop by somethinggoodradio.org, where you can listen on demand on your schedule. Download or subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, at Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Now from Acts 21:22, here's Ron with part two of his Something Good Radio message, The High Cost of Following Jesus.
James was the leader among leaders, and he was the one to whom Paul goes and gives a report, really, of all that he had experienced in the Gentile world and taking the gospel there. Very quickly, we learn that the Jews, however, misunderstood Paul's message. It says in verse 20, when they heard the report, they glorified God and they said to him, "You see, brother, how many thousands there are among the Jews of those who have believed." And there were tens of thousands that believed in Jerusalem. "They are all zealous for the law, and they have been told," listen to this, "they have been told about you that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children or walk according to our custom. What then is to be done?" Yeah, this was the flashpoint among the Jews. But Paul had never told them not to follow Moses, especially the Jews. He just simply said to the Gentiles, "We're not going to put that burden on you. And Jews, you know, you be faithful Jews to your traditions, but, you know, put Jesus in the mix here." They misunderstood Paul's message. But you know, people hear what they want to hear, don't they? They also see what they want to see. And not only did they misunderstand Paul's message, but as we read on, they conflate Paul's actions. Let's pick it up in verse 27. After a time where the elders told Paul to purify himself and participate in some of the Jewish traditions along with some others who had taken a vow before they go to the temple and all that. It says, when the 7 days were almost completed, it was a 7-day purification process, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man who is teaching everyone everywhere against the people and the law in this place. Moreover," listen to this, "he even brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place." And then Luke adds a little commentary here, verse 29, "For they had previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, with him in the city, and they supposed that Paul had brought him into the temple." Yeah, people hear what they want to hear. They see what they want to see. Because eventually they want to say what they want to say, right? And they want to spin the lies and stir up all this riotous thought and create a mob and carry this guy named Paul, who is a troublemaker, off. This is all that the Holy Spirit had testified to Paul and to the disciples in Tyre and to Agabus the prophet about what Paul was facing in Jerusalem. The high cost of of following Jesus here in Jerusalem. Paul never took Trophimus into the temple, but they saw him out there and they made the leap that, oh, he must be doing this, defiling the temple. They hear what they want to hear. They see what they want to see. And then this riot assumes as you read on, and the tribune, who is the high-ranking military official that the Romans have placed in Jerusalem there, probably Claudius, over about 1,000 Roman soldiers. He hears of the riot and he sends the soldiers in to quiet down the mob. They've taken Paul already. They're almost ready to kill him when the tribune shows up. You know, the Romans put soldiers there in Jerusalem just to keep the Jews in order. And it was the heavy, heavy hand of Rome. And this is when the tribune and the officials there confuse Paul's identity. Chapter 21, beginning in verse 37. As Paul was about to be brought into the barracks, he said to the tribune, "May I say something to you?" And he said, "Do you know Greek?" And the tribune said to Paul, "Are you not the Egyptian then, who recently stirred up a revolt and led the 4,000 men of the assassins out into the wilderness?" No, this is a clear case of mistaken identity. I mean, the Jews had misunderstood Paul's message. They conflated his actions, and now the Roman official is confused by Paul's identity. And again, people will hear what they want to hear. They see what they want to see so they can say what they want to say. And it happens in our world too, today. I don't know about you, but I'm so tired of politicians and the media, whatever channel you're on, just telling half-truths. Because they hear what they want to hear, they see what they want to see, so they can say what they want to say about this person or that person. And it's all a bunch of half-truth. It's nothing new. This is how they were trying to cancel Paul and get rid of Paul. Hearing what they want to hear, seeing what they want to see, and saying what they want to say to get rid of this guy because they perceived him to be a threat to Moses. And in the ancient Greek world and Roman world, a threat to Caesar. Brings us to chapter 22. Well, at the end of chapter 21, Paul replied, "I'm a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no obscure city. I beg you, permit me to speak to the people." And when he had given him permission, Paul, standing on the steps, motioned with his hand to the people. And when there was a great hush, he addressed them in the Hebrew language, saying, now chapter 22, "Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you." When they heard Paul speaking in their native language, they hushed. Now what they had heard about him and perceived in their own mind and, you know, said about him, the fact that he could speak their Hebrew language nullified much of that. Who is this guy? And in chapter 22 through verses 1 through 22, we have Paul's defense, the first of many defenses that he gives. Now, keep in mind, Paul had already been to Corinth, and it was from Corinth that Paul wrote his letter to the Romans. You know, that theological, magnificent book. When Paul made his defense, he didn't get theological with him. He just told his story. He shared his testimony. And they rejected that, especially when he got to verse, around verse 21, where he said that the Lord said to him, "Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles." Well, that was a flashpoint for the Jews. They didn't want anything to do with the Gentiles. But remember, Jesus said to his disciples in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts." Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. He always went to the Jew first and later to the Gentiles because of his love for his Jewish people and the Jewish people being the chosen people of God through whom Messiah came. But when he said that in verse 21, verse 22 says, "Up to this word they listened to him. Then they raised their voices and said, 'Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live.'" Listen, cancel culture has been for 2,000 years, And they were trying to cancel this guy because he was a threat to their traditions. He was just preaching Christ and him crucified and resurrected. And Paul had calculated the high, high cost of following Jesus. This didn't faze him one bit. Didn't make him go silent. Didn't make him go into hiding. Paul wasn't the kind of guy who walked into the synagogue and into the place of worship and, you know, talked freely of Jesus. And then once he was outside, no, he kind of, you know, scaled it back, like perhaps some of us are. You know, it's getting harder and harder in our culture today to identify with Jesus Christ when it's now open season on Christians. It just is. And we've kind of come full circle, have we not, in 2,000 years to the first century culture into which Paul took the gospel. It was not friendly to Jesus. It was not friendly to the gospel. But he shared his testimony boldly and courageously.
Still ahead, the second half of today's Something Good radio message with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. If you've never visited our website, somethinggoodradio.org, I encourage you to stop by. There you'll find our streaming platform for the entire media ministry. You'll also find our digital library, where you can search for biblical answers to your most challenging questions. Watch, listen, and download for free at somethinggoodradio.org. Now with the rest of today's Something Good radio message, the high cost of following Jesus. Here once again is Dr. Ron Jones.
I think of Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. It says, during the tribulation period on this earth, they overcame him, that is the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You don't have to be a, you know, skilled theologian. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to know, you know, every nook and cranny of the Bible. You just need to be prepared to tell people who Jesus is to you and to emphasize the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The high cost of following Jesus. Why would a guy like the Apostle Paul, who had so much privilege, who had so much status as Saul of Tarsus, who was doing what all the establishment wanted him to do? Remember that zeal tradition, and he was persecuting the Jew or Christians. And why would he give all that up? Because his Damascus Road experience was real. And you can't walk away from that. Nobody would have calculated the cost and paid the cost that the Apostle Paul did, even all the way to Rome where he was beheaded by Nero, if it wasn't true. People just don't do that. And so the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul is an apologetic for the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They misunderstood his message. They conflated his actions. They confused his identity. The Jews rejected Paul's testimony. Things got so heated up in Jerusalem, there was a mob ready to, you know, just take Paul out and execute him. And that's when the tribune, Claudius, stepped in with his soldiers. And they arrested Paul, took him into the barracks. They had a conversation with him. It was at that point that they learned that Paul was a Roman citizen. Paul knew how to lay down, you know, the trump card. He knew how to drop the mic at the appropriate moment. And the tribune comes back and he says, well, I'm a Roman citizen too, but I bought my citizenship. You could do that back in Roman times. You had enough money, you could purchase your Roman citizenship. Paul says, I was born a Roman citizen. That's when all the soldiers backed off. And they took Paul to a safe place and prepared him to meet the Jewish council on the next day. And that's where we need to leave it today. Two takeaway principles, take-home principles and application thoughts today. Number one, calculate the high cost of following Jesus. you might need to recalculate that. I came away from our journeys through Paul's missionary steps, and I had to admit, I'm kind of a softy. I don't know that I could go through what Paul did. Even as he writes to the Corinthians, his second letter, chapter 11, he details very reluctantly all of the dangers, toils, and snares that he's been through. He says, I was stoned once at Lystra. I don't know where this happened, but he says, 5 times I received 40 lashes minus one from the Jews. Actually, they were flogging him here in Acts 21 and 22. This is probably one of the times. Jesus was flogged once prior to going to the cross. They whipped him in his back. And Paul says 5 times. When he says, I bear on my body the marks of discipleship. Yeah, I mean, it was a very physical thing. And we in Western Christianity, we don't know much of that kind of pushback on our faith. But I think it's coming. I don't know to what extent, but it's heating up. Calculate the high cost of following Jesus and be prepared to testify courageously, which brings me to number two, boldly testify to your faith in Jesus and leave the consequences to God. Dr. Charles Stanley recently passed away. He was the pastor of First Baptist Church of Atlanta for many, many years, and kind of a model and mentor from a distance for me. I remember somebody handed me one of Charles Stanley's sermons on a cassette tape. This is how long I've been in the ministry. It was on a cassette tape titled God's, you know, The Call to Ministry. And I carried that around for 2 or 3 years, just listening to it over and over again as I was evaluating, you know, God's call upon my life into vocational ministry. But Dr. Stanley used to say, almost as his life, you know, principle, obey God and leave the consequences to Him. Okay, just obey God and leave the consequences to Him. I say, testify to the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Don't be afraid to speak up. We need Christians speaking up today to push against the pushback, right? But boldly testify to your faith in Christ and leave the consequences to God. If you've set your affection on things above and not on things on this earth, you can come to that settled conclusion and be willing, as the Apostle Paul said, to testify and to calculate the high cost. I'll leave you again with Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. This was Paul's theme, right? But I do not account my life of any value nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish the course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Where are the Apostle Pauls today? And Paulettes. Let's be inspired by his example. The example that inspired him, of course, was the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's follow in their footsteps all the way to the cross of Christ. If anyone would come after me, Jesus said, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. He never promised an easy path. He never promised, you know, that all of your wants and wishes would be granted. He never promised the Ritz-Carlton. He doesn't even have a Motel 6 for us. And whatever we have beyond that is the grace of God and His blessing. But I think it's time for us as Christians to get ready for a culture that is turning and may just be setting up for much of what we know in Bible prophecy to be the end of the age. The time is coming. Maybe it won't be in our lifetime, but it sure seems like things are heating up. Open season on Christians today. and it's time to calculate the high cost of following Jesus.
Many people throughout church history, and many others around the world today, have paid a high price for following Jesus. I'm pleased to have Dr. Ron Jones with me in studio to talk a little more about this. And Ron, here in America, we don't fully understand what it's like to suffer the way Paul did, or the way people in other countries sometimes suffer today. But as you said just moments ago, it's possible that could change in our lifetimes.
Well, it certainly could, Brian. You know, I'm reminded of something I once heard. It might have been a movie, I can't remember, but somebody was asked how he came to fall in love with his wife, and he said, "It happened gradually, then all at once."
Great line.
It is a great line. And that's the way a lot of things happen, Brian, little by little, almost unnoticed, and then suddenly it overwhelms you. I think that's kind of what we're seeing here in America with respect to suffering for the cause of Jesus Christ. Slowly and steadily, we've begun to suffer, well, indirectly as a result of some public policy decisions. We kicked God out of the public schools in the 1960s and then in the early 70s sanctioned the murder of the unborn. We began to endorse homosexuality as an acceptable lifestyle, and slowly, over time, we legalized same-sex marriage. We've also seen a steady increase in cases in which the rights of individual Christians have been threatened. The ACLU, for example, here in Virginia Beach, as well as other organizations, have had to go to court to defend a Christian's right to host a Bible study in their home, or read their Bible at work, or to defend a pastor's right not to perform a wedding ceremony for a same-sex couple. On a small scale, this is what suffering looks like. But Brian, I fully believe that a day is coming, maybe in our lifetime, when all of these gradual steps will suddenly morph into something far worse, like emotional and physical persecution of believers in Jesus Christ. Some may even be martyred for their faith. It may happen in the near future. I don't know. What I do know is that those who have gone before us and suffered in this manner for the name of Jesus have not only considered it a privilege, but an opportunity for their faith to grow, their relationship with God to deepen, and for others to come to faith in Christ. So, should things escalate here at home the way they have in other parts of the world, well, let's join the Apostle Paul in saying, "For this light and momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison."
That's Dr. Ron Jones and some final thoughts about the high cost of following Jesus. As you may know, Ron has written a book that goes along with a teaching series he shared earlier this year, Route 66, The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible. This great resource can be yours today for your gift of $50 or more to support the media ministry of Something Good. That's Volumes 1 and 2 of Ron's book, The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible, our thank you gift for your donation of $50 or more today. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099, or you can mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456. Well, Ron, quickly now tell us what you have planned for next time as you move ahead in this series on the Apostle Paul.
Yes, and thanks, Brian. Paul has now made his way to Jerusalem. He's completed all three of his missionary journeys. He's given something of a farewell address in Ephesus. And to be honest, he knows his time is short. So he goes to Jerusalem. And while he's there, he's beaten and ridiculed for his faith in Christ. He's about to be put on trial. And I want to unpack this period in Paul's life because there are some critical lessons we can learn about facing this type of persecution with boldness and courage. Now, Paul gave us many examples of his commitment to Christ, but this is among his best. And we'll dive into it next time, right here on Something Good Radio.
That's tomorrow when Ron shares his message, Courage Under Pressure. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for listening.